What is truth? Number 2 seal, not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It has been shown that the history of August 11, 1840 until October 22, 1844 is the history represented by the seven thunders which were sealed up until just before the close of probation. In this article, I will begin by reviewing some of what we have identified about the symbolism of the seven thunders. We are using historical lines upon historical lines to present these truths. There are 4 prophetic waymarks from August 11, 1840 until and including October 22, 1844. The empowerment of the fist angel's message, the first disappointment, the midnight cry, and the great disappointment. August 11, 1840 was typified by Moses at the burning bush. The first disappointment in the spring of 1844 was typified by the wife of Moses, Zipporah, when she sorrowfully and fearfully circumcised their son. The midnight cry that began at the Exeter camp meeting from August 12 to 17 was typified by the arrival of Moses in Egypt and his initial warning about the death of Egypt's firstborn. The great disappointment of October 22, 1844 was typified by the Hebrews at the Red Sea. In the time of King David, August 11, 1840 was typified by the Philistines returning the Ark of God. The first disappointment in the spring of 1844 was typified by Uzzah touching the Ark of God. The midnight cry that began at the Exeter camp meeting from August 12 to 17 was typified by David bringing the Ark into Jerusalem. The great disappointment of October 22, 1844 was typified by David's wife Michal as she despised David for entering Jerusalem with the Ark. August 11, 1840 was typified by the baptism of Christ. The first disappointment in the spring of 1844 was typified by the disappointment of Lazarus' death. The midnight cry that began at the Exeter camp meeting from August 12 to 17 was typified by the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. The great disappointment of October 22, 1844 was typified by the disappointment of the cross. We have pointed out that these 4 waymarks represent only a partial segment of the complete structure of every reformatory movement. We are identifying the 4 waymarks as witnesses of the history that began on September 11, 2001. One of the prophetic characteristics of each of the 4 lines is that the waymarks in each line possess the same theme. For Moses, all 4 of the waymarks addressed God's work of entering into a covenant with a chosen people in fulfillment with the prophecy of Abraham. With King David's reform line, all 4 of the waymarks were associated with the Ark of God. In Christ's line, all 4 of the waymarks were associated with death and resurrection. August 11, 1840 was a confirmation of the day for a year principle. The first disappointment in the spring of 1844 was caused by a failed application of the day for a year principle. Samuel Snow's message of the midnight cry was the correction and a perfection of the failed application of the day for a year principle. The corrected message was based upon the day for a year principle and was fulfilled on October 22, 1844. All 4 waymarks are identifying the day for a year principle. Sister White informs us, the 7 thunders represent the events that transpired during the first and second angels' messages. But she teaches that the 7 thunders also represent future events that will be disclosed in their order. The 7 thunders represent 4 prophetic events that began on August 11, 1840 and ended on October 22, 1844. And those 4 waymarks will be repeated in our history in the same order. September 11, 2001 was typified by August 11, 1840, and both of those dates are connected with Islam, thus tying the beginning of Adventism together with the end of Adventism. Both August 11, 1840 and September 11, 2001 were a confirmation of the primary prophetic rule of their respective histories. On September 11, 2001, the angel of Revelation 18 descended, and on August 11, 1840, the angel of Revelation 10 descended. The first disappointment of Future for America was a failed prediction concerning Islam on July 18, 2020. The message that is unsealed, as was the midnight cry at Exeter in the summer of 1844, is a correction of the failed prediction that had been previously given. For the Millerites, the correction was in relation to the previously failed application of the day for a year principle, identifying 1843 as the time of the Lord's return. Today, the correction, which is represented by the Millerite Midnight Cry message, must be a waymark that represents Islam, as the previous two waymarks were. The correction, typified by the work of Samuel Snow, was not to disregard the previous failed prediction, but to fine-tune the prediction that had previously failed. The disappointed ones saw from the scriptures that they were in the tarrying time and that they must patiently wait the fulfillment of the vision. The same evidence which led them to look for their Lord in 1843 led them to expect him in 1844. Early Writings, 247. Today the message that is typified by the message that came out of the Exeter camp meeting will be a perfection of the previously failed prediction. The great disappointment of Millerite history represents a great disappointment that takes place at the Sunday Law, but it will be in the context of a prediction about Islam. Samuel Snow's message was an identification of the exact date. It was the right date, but the wrong event. The message today represented by Snow's message will be a message of Islam that is the perfection of the message that failed at the first disappointment of July 18, 2020. There are no times or dates involved now, for since October 22, 1844, time setting is no longer to be a part of God's prophetic message. The Lord has shown me that the message of the third angel must go and be proclaimed to the scattered children of the Lord, and that it should not be hung on time, for time never will be a test again. I saw that some were getting a false excitement arising from preaching time, that the third angel's message was stronger than time can be. I saw that this message can stand on its own foundation, and that it needs not time to strengthen it, and that it will go in mighty power and do its work, and will be cut short in righteousness. Experience and Views, 48-49. The fourth waymark of our history must be the Sunday Law, for the sacred histories of all the reform lines added together line upon line, in conjunction with the inspired commentary of those histories through the spirit of prophecy, are conclusive that the Sunday Law is the fourth waymark after the mighty angel descends in our history. The fourth waymark in the history of the seven thunders that are future events that will be disclosed in their order must be connected with Islam, based upon the fact that the same theme always exists in the same four waymarks in every reformatory movement. Islam will be part of the prophetic events at the Sunday Law for a second reason. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has specifically taken the history of these four events and defined them as a symbol unto themselves. That symbol is the seven thunders. There are other waymarks in every reformatory movement that exist both before and after the four waymarks that the Lion of the tribe of Judah specifies as the seven thunders. As a symbol unto themselves, the first waymark of the symbolic history containing these four waymarks represented the attack by Islam on the United States on September 11, 2001. The fact that Alpha and Omega identify the end with the beginning establishes Islam at the Sunday Law for the first of those four waymarks was the attack of Islam on September 11, 2001. Therefore, the fourth and last waymark must also be an attack by Islam against the United States. It might very be that the Sunday Law is another attack by Islam on New York City, and that would answer as an end that is identified by the beginning. But at minimum, it will be an attack by Islam, as was the prediction of July 18, 2020. We have also pointed out that the Alpha and Omega hid a history within those four histories. In fact, that hidden internal history is a primary revelation that is now being brought out in conjunction with the command to seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation. That hidden internal history is recognized when we see within the four waymarks that are represented by the seven thunders, that there is a period within the four waymarks that begins with a disappointment and ends with a disappointment. From the arrival of the second angel until the arrival of the third in Millerite history is a specific history that represents a symbol unto itself. It begins with an angel's message that must be eaten, thus marking the tarrying time in the parable of the 10 virgins. It then identifies the midnight cry, which is also a message that must be eaten, and then leads to the arrival of the third message that must be eaten. The hidden internal line within the line of the seven thunders is confirmed prophetically not only by the beginning representing a disappointment and an angel's arrival and a message to eat that is then repeated at the great disappointment, but it is also confirmed by the truth. The Hebrew word ameh, that is translated as truth in the Old Testament, was created by the wonderful linguist by using the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, followed by the 13th letter of the alphabet, and then ending with the last letter of the alphabet to form the word translated as truth. We have shown that those letters represent the principle of the rule of first mention, the principle that identifies the end from the beginning. The first letter is the letter Alpha. The middle letter is the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet and represents rebellion. The last letter is the last, the end, the Omega. We have shown that these three letters represent the three steps of the everlasting gospel, as confirmed by several prophetic lines. Those three letters' meanings correspond to the meaning of each of the three angels' messages. Those three letters' meanings correspond to the purification process of the wise and wicked in Daniel 12, verse 10, who are purified, made white, and tried. The three Hebrew letters that were brought together to create the word truth possess the signature of Alpha and Omega, and the three steps which they identify in the first angel's message is called the everlasting gospel. The three steps represented by those letters also represent the work of the Holy Spirit as set forth in John 16. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 16:8-11. The first disappointment is represented as sin, as illustrated by Moses, Uzzah, Mary, and Martha, and the Millerites, for as John 16 describes the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting of sin, it was because they believe not. Each of the symbols we just cited represent the first disappointment, and each of their histories testify that the disappointment was caused by the sin of not believing something that had been previously revealed to them. The first step is the conviction of sin. The first step is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second waymark of the hidden history is righteousness, which is where the manifestation of the power of God is manifested in the righteousness of those carrying the midnight cry message. They manifest God's righteousness at the conclusion of the tarrying time. For John 16 says Christ went to his Father, and they saw Christ no more. Christ had tarried in advance of the manifestation of righteousness. With the Millerites, when Christ removed his hand, the mistake was recognized. Then the content of the corrected message produced two classes of worshipers. One class manifested righteousness, for they had oil, and the other class manifested the rebellion represented by the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The anointed ones, standing by the Lord of the whole earth, have the position once given to Satan as covering cherub. By the holy beings surrounding his throne, the Lord keeps up a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. The golden oil represents the grace with which God keeps the lamps of believers supplied, that they shall not flicker and go out. Were it not that this holy oil is poured from heaven in the messages of God's Spirit, the agencies of evil would have entire control over men. God is dishonored when we do not receive the communications which he sends us. Thus we refuse the golden oil which he would pour into our souls to be communicated to those in darkness. When the call shall come, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Those who have not received the holy oil, who have not cherished the grace of Christ in their hearts, will find, like the foolish virgins, that they are not ready to meet their Lord. They have not in themselves the power to obtain the oil, and their lives are wrecked. But if God's Holy Spirit is asked for, if we plead, as did Moses, show me thy glory, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. Through the golden pipes, the golden oil will be communicated to us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By receiving the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, God's children shine as lights in the world. Review and Herald, July 20th, 1897. Take note that those who received the message of the midnight cry have been typified by Moses in the cave of Horeb, pleading for God to show him his glory. Those two classes had finalized their characters before the midnight cry, during the tarrying time. We are now living in a most perilous time, and not one of us should be tardy in seeking a preparation for the coming of Christ. Let none follow the example of the foolish virgins and think that it will be safe to wait until the crisis comes before gaining a preparation of character to stand in that time. It will be too late to seek for the righteousness of Christ when the guests are called in and examined. Now is the time to put on the righteousness of Christ, the wedding garment that will fit you to enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the parable, the foolish virgins are represented as begging for oil and failing to receive it at their request. This is symbolic of those who have not prepared themselves by developing a character to stand in a time of crisis. The Youth's Instructor, January 16, 1896. At the midnight cry, one class had the necessary oil and the other did not. The second step is the manifestation at the conclusion of the tarrying time of either righteousness or unrighteousness. Because the bridegroom went to his father, and ye see me no more. The second step is the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The third step in the hidden history is judgment and the great disappointment, and the last letter of the alphabet. The hidden history within the seven thunders is testified to by the word truth, by the beginning disappointment, identifying the last disappointment, by an angel arriving with a message at the beginning and end. The hidden history will only be recognized by those who have accepted the rules of Bible study that have been given by the highest authority. Miller's rules in the beginning and prophetic keys at the end. With the history of the seven thunders, as we have just set forth, there is an emphasis that should be repeated and remembered. The first disappointment in every reform line is a disregard of previously established truth. Moses forgot to circumcise his son, though it was the very symbol of the covenant that Abraham's prophecy was identifying. Uzzah forgot that only the priesthood could touch the ark. Mary and Elizabeth give testimony in the story of Lazarus that they previously knew of Christ's resurrection power. When the 1843 chart was produced, the leaders, peer pressure, leaned upon Father Miller to disregard what he had always said about the year 1843. They insisted he change his established testimony that allowed for wiggle room unto the date of 1843 as their prediction of the fulfillment of the 2300 days. Miller's testimony identifies that peer pressure brought by the other leaders in the movement led him to drop his vague identification of the fulfillment of the date for the fulfillment of the prophecy and state directly that it would be fulfilled in 1843. With Future for America, we knew that there was never to be another message hung upon time. Future for America had repeatedly taught that fact throughout the history of the movement. The first disappointment is always premised upon a disregard of an established testing truth. It was a sinful disregard of a truth, but more significantly, it was a sinful disregard of the primary rule of William Miller, which had been specifically identified as ending in 1844. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Revelation 10:5-6. The angel that stood upon the land and sea, according to Sister White, was no less a personage than Jesus Christ. Future for America disregarded a direct command from Jesus Christ. Personally, I have only interacted with a handful of persons that I was associated with before July 18, 2020. Only two of those few persons, and one of those two is now sleeping in Jesus. Jesus have I studied with and tested what was coming from God's Word concerning the experience of July 18, 2020. But based upon Millerite history, which is the beginning of which we are the end, I am certain that there are still those that were in the movement at that time that are still producing applications of prophecy that are hung upon time. There is nothing new under the sun. Time is much too short to continue with that type of prophetic excitement, but let each man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And let each of the men that takes a position on the side that is still playing with time, that Future for America rejects all of those applications, for they are nothing less than satanic delusions. The internal hidden prophetic line within the four waymarks that make up the seven thunders is what is now being unsealed by the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. This article has simply been a review of what we have stated about the Hebrew word eme, that is translated as truth. It did not touch all that we have previously shared, but the purpose of the review is to demonstrate that John chapter 16 verse 8 absolutely agrees with the prophetic model we are proposing for the hidden internal prophetic line within the seven thunders. There is still a little more review necessary before we reach a conclusion that we will take up in the next article. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22:10-13.